Welcome to Life Quest Liberty, live in-depth conversations with today's top writers, editors, and spiritual leaders concerning religious freedom around the world. On today's broadcast, we'll examine local and international factors that may be impacting your right to worship and obey God as your conscience dictates. I'm your Life Quest Liberty host, Charles Mills.
It sticks up into the Persian Gulf like a wayward lock of hair jutting from Saudi Arabia. Qatar is under pressure from its neighbors for a reason that caught the attention of Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine. Lincoln, what's happening in that faraway country about which we need to know?
It's something that I think in the U.S. it should have been known before and certainly immediately after 9/11. Mm-hmm. The huge fracture within Islam. Belatedly, people are aware that they're Sunni Muslims,
yes,
and
yes.
Shiite Muslims. But I'm not sure, even at this late point, it sort of got through to the West generally what that means and who's who. Mm-hmm. Nor, just to talk about fractures, that there are many sub-fractures, as there are within Christendom,
yes,
within Protestantism. There are many, many little subgroups. Most people know that. They don't know that even within Catholicism there are. There's one group that have their own pope who believes that because of Vatican II, this present papacy is in apostasy. But even within the Roman Catholic Church, they've been able to integrate these wide splits, and they're the different orders. At different times, some of the orders, Franciscans, I think, for one offhand, were counted as heretics by most of the rest of the Catholics. So it shouldn't be a surprise but to know that Islam is the same, but we need to know it because, if nothing else, it can guide Western leadership in dealing with what they see as a single bloc to know that it's not.
Are we treating it like a single bloc?
In the past, I think so.
Okay, all right.
But anyhow, what's happened, and you know, I've got today's newspaper in front of me, and it's most interesting that over the last couple of days, significantly following President Trump's state visit to the Middle East, and in particular to Saudi Arabia, suddenly, we have a whole bunch of the Gulf states, including and backed by Saudi Arabia, which, of course, bumps up against all the Gulf states,
right,
those little independent princelings. They've taken issue with Qatar. And who knows about Qatar normally? This is not a big country. It's probably the most Americans know about it, but they don't know they know about it, is Al Jazeera, mm-hmm, is owned by the Emir. So it's not an independent news service in the ownership sense, at least. But beyond that, people don't know, a little leftover principality, but it's immensely rich because of oil. And what they don't know, that the Arab states know, is that Qatar has been a serious direct funder of fundamentalist extremism.
Yes. Yes. I understand that Trump is weighing in on that fact as well.
Tweeting.
Tweeting, that's right.
Which is not the news of the day.
No.
We've never had a president, even in the modern era, who's so inclined to tweet. And I'm not sure Trump generally is, given his age, is supercomputer literate, but he knows tweeting. And he's used it to good political effect, but now that he's president, it's very disruptive.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So he tweeted, "So good to see the Saudi Arabia visit with the king and to the 50 countries already paying off," he said. "They said they would take a hard line on funding extremism, and all reference was pointing to Qatar."
Mm.
Well, maybe. Our listeners need to know that it's not a matter of conspiracy theory, it's a matter of plain fact,
yes,
and history, that Saudi Arabia is the source of the most extremist fundamentalist views, mm, and the source of much, if not most, of the money. But it may be, after Trump's visit, that this fired them up to pick on a more vulnerable country.
Well, I mean, they made Qatar the fall guy. Is that right, then?
Right. I was about to say that.
Yeah.
Thank you. You,
yeah,
led me. And so I want our listeners to know, not that we, any of us can do anything about it, but we observe it, and our interpretation of it in amorphous ways will influence how our society responds to this. We shouldn't be confused or even mollified by this simple thing, because the problem is much bigger than Qatar.
Yes.
And it's even much bigger than the Gulf states and Saudi Arabia. In the news today, and I haven't got all the details, there was an attack on the Iranian parliament, ostensibly from some group connected with ISIS. Now, that should catch people's attention, and they should connect the dot. ISIS has bright lines connecting it to Saudi Arabia. It's a Sunni Muslim radical revolutionary terrorist group. And I cannot see that this is separate from the move against the extremists on the Gulf to moving against Iran. They feel empowered after President Trump goes to their area and encourages them to do something. They now feel empowered to take on Iran because it will curry favor with the West and advance their own internal religious warfare. Iran is Sunni Muslim. And the Shiites are the distinct minority and have been picked on by the Sunni majority for a long time. The dispute between them is not even doctrinal, really. It's over the succession to Muhammad, as I've said on this program before. Rather than get into the fine points of it, it's just simply over whether the succession of church leadership or of the Islamic leadership was through the family or through a designated successor. That simple. But, you know, Muslims have been killed over the years for this. And by equating extremism narrowly, we're actually empowering and firing up their internal fight more, which I think is very unfortunate.
Lincoln, I am so frustrated by what's going on here. Let me ask you this question. You know this. I know this. Half the world knows this. Apparently, Donald Trump doesn't. Isn't there someone in his cabinet, isn't there someone in his inner circle who could pull the man aside, whisper in his ear and say, you know, Saudi Arabia just threw Qatar under the bus. They're trying to draw attention away from themselves and they're trying to make Qatar the fall guy. You might want to go easy on your praise of Saudi Arabia. Doesn't anybody there know it enough to say it?
Well, I don't know. That's the huge question. Whether they don't know, which might be the case, I go to some meetings in Washington, not with the president or that level typically are talking, but where people that are connected to government talk,
right,
and
right.
I found them generally tone deaf about the religious complexities in the Middle East. So it could be that, or it could be that at the highest level we are blinded by business interests and things like oil access and so on, and are willing to slide by it. I don't know. But if so, it's a convenience that is going to cost us, if not already. You know, you can have, there's various views about 9/11, but I think it's indisputable that there was Saudi involvement on 9/11, and it's also indisputable that there was Saudi planning and money involved in the rise of ISIS. It's a Sunni operation. And as I've said on this program before, when the West first noticed it, they were claiming there were about 15,000 fighters in ISIS. 7,000 of them were Saudis. So we know where this comes from. And then the Saudi government, talking about this sectarian struggle, within the year, I think it was, they executed about 35 people in Saudi Arabia, and they're public executions, very gruesome.
Yes, yes.
Things involving beheadings and hangings, and then the bodies are hung up on cranes in a public place. Well, they executed one of the leading Shiite clerics in Saudi Arabia, essentially because he was a Shiite.
Yes.
This is vicious religious infighting, and we don't seem to pay any attention that Saudi Arabia is exporting this fundamentalist view. Even in Washington, D.C. a few years ago, they discovered the textbooks that were used in the Saudi schools, the sponsored schools in Washington, and they were full of hate language against Christians and Jews. And they claim that they changed it, but that really wasn't the point, whether they would change it, you know, when you notice it. The point is, why were they putting it there in the first place?
Really, really.
This is reflective of a consistent view supported by the leadership in Saudi Arabia, and we let them off the hook all the time, saying correctly that as a condition of the royal family remaining in power, they've entered into this unholy alliance with the most extremist Wahhabist influence in Saudi Arabia. But that means that it is so, that it's not just a perception problem. They are indeed supporting that view.
So the United States is inserting a business model into a religious feud. Am I right over there?
Very good.
Yeah.
I knew there was a reason that you're taking a lead here.
My,
exactly.
My. mind.
And that's always dangerous from religion. Remember, Jesus cautioned against mammon.
Mammon, yes. You can't serve God and
follow
mammon.
God and mammon.
Okay.
Well, whenever you mix religion and mammon, it comes out badly.
Yeah.
So that's what we're in the middle of, and we could hope that behind closed doors, President Trump said the right thing, but now I wonder if he didn't say more of the same of our other leaders, not picking on him directly, but we just seem to be a little tone deaf, and it will further the U.S. geostrategic interest to have these Sunni proxies attacking Iran, but it won't serve both world peace nor religious amity to countenance that.
Does the presence of the United States in that region, even if it's political, is the fact that we're interested, is it helping in any way? Is it keeping something from happening that might happen?
I believe that we've started it up.
Oh, boy.
I mean, we're not culpable in all regards, but certainly in recent years, the Western involvement has sparked a resurgent Islamic extremism. Mm. I mean, I think it's always been there. Muhammad himself advanced his cause by the sword and brigandage of different types. Then during the Middle Ages, there were hundreds of years of Islamic attacks on Europe, and of course the Crusades in the Dark Ages. But in our modern era, yes, it's directly because of Western or great power interference. I would really place it at the time of Soviet intervention in Afghanistan.
Right.
And in countering them, the West consciously funded and agitated for Islamic fanaticism. And one thing has led to another. And what does the Bible say? You sow to the wind and you reap the whirlwind.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
But that doesn't mean that we created these inherent antagonisms. But we have stirred them up.
Well, listener, after listening to this program, you now know more than the people in Washington, D.C. about what's happening over there. Well, Lincoln, what do we do? Give me 30 seconds and what our action should be.
We need to take a leaf from this and not be a personal party to religious antagonisms. Mm. We need to be true to our own personal faith and treat others with the respect that we would want to ourselves and to our faith.
All right. Very good. Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, libertymagazine.org is the website. Listen to these programs. Read the articles. You guys just did some construction work on the libertymagazine.org site, right?
A little bit.
Yeah.
So I hope people go visit. It's improved. We're always tweaking it,
yes,
and improving it, we
yes
hope. And we always welcome visitations.
All right. www.libertymagazine.org. Thank you, Lincoln, very much. And until next time, this is Charles Mills, along with Lincoln Steed, editor of Liberty Magazine, inviting you to rest in the freedom of God's love. Goodbye, everyone. If you'd like more information about LifeQuest Liberty, call Three Angels Broadcasting Network at 618-627-4651 or email us through our website at 3abn.org. Join us again next week at this same time as we examine more of the threats and challenges facing your religious freedom. May God keep the flames of liberty burning in your heart today.